To...
Yes, the dear ghoulish creature. He was so persuasive, I could have died on the spot to oblige him. But don't you see, he comes from the lodge, Green Meadows.
Good heavens. Green Meadows is a cemetery. That's right.
And who would conceivably live in the lodge, Green Meadows, except the caretaker? Barbara, we have in our midst the prostrate form of Edward Stokes, the organizing grandee of the graveyards, the caster of plots, to coin a phrase, before whom even Death the Grim Reaper must get in a queue and wait to be served. Look on, ye mighty, and despair.
Very interesting. But you haven't told me yet what it all has to do with Arthur Briscoe. He was the one you called me in about.
I just wanted to check with you that I had the name right. My memories of the gent tallied exactly with yours.
Well?
Well, friend Stokes dropped a loose word or two before he passed out. Call it the 7-day hike of a rambling mind if you like. But he said, the world thinks so, you think so, but I know that Arthur Briscoe is not dead.
What? Oh, Rowley, that's ridiculous. I remember his funeral as clearly as if it were yesterday.
His funeral and burial at Green Meadows.
Oh. But surely you wouldn't take any notice...
Yeah, where's the phone book? Ah. The truth is, Barbara, I feel sorry for this old boy. He's a bit of a puzzle. Why should he be shunting him out town in his sorry state, sick and not quite right on the head? And why, if he wanted to dream up a little fiction about one of his charges coming back to life, should he choose, of all people, the unlamented Arthur Briscoe?
Who are you ringing?
I'm going to ring up Green Meadows and see what I can find out.
Well, it's your funeral.
My dear girl, please. You really must exercise a little taste in your... However, I shall be cautious. Is that the Green Meadows Cemetery?
It is.
I wanted to get in touch with Mr. Edward Stokes.
That's a coincidence, so do I. My name's Inspector Ford, Scotland Yard. What's yours?
Inspector... Barbara, who do you think answered the phone if not our old pal Inspector Ford? He's gunning for the bird we've trapped. Now the plot begins to thicken.
It looks as though Roland Fletcher has got himself involved in another adventure. Be sure to follow it up when next we meet the Grey Goose.
I have been here.
The Grey Goose, Adventures of a Modern Robin Hood.
A strange old character named Edward Stokes runs into me and is so concerned about my welfare as to try and sell me a plot of earth for a grave, I think it's my cue to pass away. From his company, that is. But he turns out to have a bad heart and a wandering mind, so I take him home, where he passes away. From consciousness, that is. But not before he's breathed to Barbara and me the cryptogram. The world thinks so, you think so, but I know that Arthur Briscoe is alive. Now, this Arthur Briscoe was in his time a triple murderer who cheated the gallows only by managing to perish before the law caught up with him. Interested, I ring the Green Meadows Cemetery where Stokes holds the office of caretaker. Imagine my surprise when I'm answered by my old companion of combat, Inspector Ford.
I said my name's Inspector Ford. What's yours?
Barbara, it's Inspector Ford. Now we shall have some fun. Mustn't let him recognize my voice. I wanted to get in touch with Edward Stokes, the caretaker there.
Are you a friend?
An associate, rather. He's the, sleeping partner in a little venture of mine.
When did you last see him?
Why, shortly before he slept, come to think of it.
Now look here, this is a police matter. you know where Edward Stokes is, you'd better say so.
But, Inspector, I rang up to get in touch with him. Whatever has poor old Edward done to have the strong arm of the law raised against him? Is he a criminal?
No, he's not a criminal. It's simply that we must know his whereabouts. He seems to have disappeared. Now, sir, if you please, when did you last see Edward Stokes?
Eh?
I said, when did you last see Edward Stokes?
Yeah, I can't hear you, I'm afraid, Inspector.
When did you last see Edward Stokes?
Oh, I wouldn't shout, Inspector. Shouting distorts the voice on the telephone. It was something about when I saw Edward last, wasn't it? Well, now let's see. It wasn't April, it was... Yes, it must have been March. Ah, yes, about a month ago.
About a month ago?
In Piccadilly Circus, about 30 feet up.
About 30 feet? Why, but that'd put him on top of the Eros statue.
Yes, that would be right, Inspector. Boat race night. He's a gay old rip. Good night.
Oh, Rowley, you shouldn't have.
Well, why not? I wouldn't put it past old Stokes to have a dash at selling burial space under Eros. You know, to one of those South American Indians who bury their dead in trees. Besides, the badinage gave me time to think. I've got an idea.
What?
Have you noticed some extraordinary similarities between Stokes and myself? Height, facial type?
Well, no.
That's because you've never trained yourself to notice such things. But the likeness is there. And you know what I'm going to do?
No. What?
Wait for the cover of night. No sense in taking ridiculous chances, you see. In the shroud of dark, I shall feel confident in the graveyard. I say, that's not bad. Did you hear? In the shroud of dark?
Rowley, what are you talking about?
Well, isn't it clear? I like old Stokes, and I'm loath to turn him out into the cold and the waiting arms of Inspector Ford without further information. Therefore, come 7 o'clock... I'm disguising myself as the old boy, shunting off to the last resting place, and getting myself arrested for whatever it is he's done.
Rowley, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am. It'll be great fun. Pass the crepe hair, Mirandy. This is going to be a masterpiece. Dim lights in the lodge up there. Yes, we shall pull it off, all right. Ah, 7:45. Well, here's where a blow is struck for Schizophrenics Anonymous. Ta-ta, Fletcher. Enter Stokes. Up to the lodge and heaven forfend the right.
Who's that?
Really? So soon?
Who is it, I said?
Perhaps I should ask the same thing. You've no right in here at this hour of the night.
What the... Oh, no, it couldn't be you.
Well, chap in mufti. Doesn't look like a copper.
So you came back, did you? Under your own steam. Don't you realize I've had every policeman in the area searching for you?
Indeed. Very nice of you, I must say. And what gives you the impression I was in need of a search party?
Your mind is behaving itself again, eh? Well, that's fortunate. In fact, running into you before the police did is fortunate in its way, too.
What do you mean?
We've got a few things to clear up, old boy. Little question of where loyalties lie and that sort of thing. I did right by you, but it seems you can't be trusted where I'm concerned.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know damn well I could have had you out of this job of yours years ago. Then you wouldn't have had any place to go. You've no money of your own, and who would employ an old, feeble man whose mind is going? But that was our agreement. If you kept my secret, I'd see to it you remained here.
Well, I upheld my end of the bargain.
Oh, did you? The letter you wrote to the police proves it, I suppose. I was a fool to have supposed you could be relied upon. I should have got rid of you the moment you found out. But your goose is cooked now, my friend. I've blown the gaff to the police, about you, I mean, and in such a way that no one will ever believe your story. There's a charge out against you. You'll spend the rest of your life behind bars. Behind bars, Stokes. And you know the kind of bars I mean, don't you? The ones that crisscross on the windows. The ones you've always been afraid of. You're not going to like being behind them, old boy. Why, a man can go mad cooped up behind them.
you mean...
That's exactly what I mean. I mean it with a vengeance. Of course, there is an alternative.
Alternative?
Yes. This.
Gun.
What more likely than that the poor old nut, knowing his capture was nigh, should blow his brains out by the graveyard gates? It is likely, isn't it, Stokes? I'm not inventing things. You don't want to spend the rest of your days in that place.
That place? Yes, yes.
No, don't snatch. It's not necessary that you take the gun. I'll do the job for you. Less painful that way, less of a strain. And then when you've passed on, I'll put the revolver in your hand. When you're discovered, it will be suicide.
Oh, I really don't think that's the best plan.
You don't? You'd prefer the bars, you mean. Right on the horns of a dilemma, aren't you? Finding it hard to decide. Well, let me assure you, in your state, you're not really capable of making a decision. The other place would be worse than death. This is the best plan.
No, it isn't.
This is... What the blazes are you doing?
Getting even with you for that crack about the goose being cooked. You want to know, but I've an affection for geese. Thanks. I'll take the gun.
You're not Stokes.
No, I had to drop the mask a little, haven't I? Pity, but I couldn't allow your sort of shenanigans.
Help! Police! Help!
Oh, dear, not according to plan at all. But if that's the attitude you're going to take...
Help!
A nice long sleep is indicated. Good night! That's the way. Now then, I wonder who you are, eh? Tough sort of customer, obviously. And not at all devoted to friend Stokes. Ah, here's something. It's a notebook. Property of W. Marvin Jones, Esquire. Marvin Jones. Confounded, all that name's familiar.
Oh.
Oh, hello, wakey. Oh. That won't do. I need you out for a long time yet. W. Marvin Jones, Esquire. Hold tight. Yes, bad show indeed, old boy. Like shooting a sitting duck. Still, you were